Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Rising obesity rates have prompted one city council in England to take fairly drastic action because new takeaways will be banned from opening in most areas of Newcastle City in a bid to reduce access to unhealthy food. In a moment, we'll speak to Dr. Maura Finn, Ennis-based GP, about what we need to do here in Ireland to combat the problem. But first, we're joined by Director of Public Health for Gateshead and Newcastle Councils, Alice Wiseman. Alice, lovely to have you with us on the programme. Thank you for, joining us.
Great to be here.
So tell me a little bit about this. I describe it as a fairly radical strategy.
Well, it's actually one element of a much bigger strategy. So we accept that this will not solve the issues that we're trying to address on its own. But what we know is in Newcastle, two-thirds of adults in Newcastle are living with excess weight. 4 in 10 of our kids are leaving primary school with excess weight. And while many people think of obesity as an individual issue, the increase in numbers over recent decades show us it's much more complex than that. You know, the way that our food is produced, promoted, available, priced, are all the things that have encouraged and increased our levels of consumption at a population level. And so what we're now trying to do is take the steps to try and rebalance that. So this is one part of a much bigger picture in terms of trying to take some steps back so that we can give people the opportunity to not be so influenced by their environment and hopefully therefore be able to make much better individual decisions.
So tell me about the new rules then around where these new takeaways can be opened.
Yeah, so it's actually building on some work that Newcastle did in 2016. But what we've done is we've extended the policy. So it's now there will be no hot food takeaways granted 400 metres or a 10-minute walk around schools, parks or community centres. So very much focused on those environments where our kids play and learn. Won't be allowed in wards with more than 10% of children who are already obese. And we have really good data on that because we weigh and measure all our kids in reception and year six. And then also in wards where there are already more hot food takeaways than the national average. And I have to say, in Newcastle, we already have 40% more hot food takeaways in the city than other, you know, the national average across the whole country. Mm-hmm. So it really is looking at almost halting the rise that we've seen over recent years.
But the city centre, the retail core, is exempt from this rule, is it?
Yeah, because what we focused on is the environments where people live and, you know, go to school, because we know it's on those trips between home and school, you know, that people being exposed to hot food takeaways are more likely to therefore want to consume them. So we've restricted the city centre because we realise that that is, you know, where people come, people visit from all over the world. And actually what we want to do is continue to ensure that there is an offer within the city centre that is flexible, but protect where people are living.
Okay, so was there much pushback? I would imagine you had some businesses or people who were planning to open takeaways in Newcastle who were very upset at this idea, this strategy.
Yeah, so we haven't had a great deal of pushback yet. That's not to say that we won't. But what we have got is we've got the comparison across in Gateshead. So across the river in Gateshead, and granted it's not the same sort of size city in terms of visitor footfall as Newcastle is, but we've had this planning permission arrangement in place since 2015. So we've actually had no hot food takeaways granted since 2015. We've had 8 appeals, and 6 of the 8 appeals actually cited the issue of obesity in Gateshead as the main reason for dismissal. So whilst there may be, you know, some people who feel, you know, unhappy with this, actually what we are seeing is that it's improving the environment in some places. You know, so where we haven't granted new hot food takeaways, there's been diversification in the shops and the retail outlets, but there's also been reduced litter, reduced smells, you know, so the community's starting to feel that there is a much more sort of, you know, places where they wish to live, grow up and, you know, and play hopefully outside for the children. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a whole load of really positive things that have come from this.
Yeah, and you spoke about, you know, this being part of a wider policy and a wider strategy, because when you think about it, you take out some of the hot food takeaways, or at least the new ones, but you still have the petrol station where a child can go in and for not very much money buy a very sugary, very large drink, a share bag of crisps and a share bag of sweets, and gobble them all down themselves during their lunch break.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, the thing that I would align it to is if you think about how we've tackled smoking over recent decades, there have been multiple interventions that we've needed at both national and at local levels. But what we've seen in relation to that is a 50% reduction from smoking prevalence in 1974 to around 13% now. So this is why I'm saying this is part of a much broader strategy. We've seen some great evidence of restrictions on marketing. So on the London transport system, restrictions on marketing led to a reduction of 1,000 calories per household. We've also got national action, which was the sugar drinks levy, and that's a great example of taking loads of sugar out of the population all at one time by ensuring that the manufacturers are thinking about how they're producing the products that they're also selling. So I think that what we need to do is take it step by step, as we've done with smoking, and start to think about the way that our environment's changed over recent years, which has resulted in this massive increase in people living with overweight and obesity, and find the levers that we do have to try and rebalance that and reverse the trend that we're seeing currently.
Alice,
so not a silver bullet.
Stay with us, Alice, if you can, because I want to get Dr. Maura Finn's take on everything that you have said. Maura, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Would you welcome something like this in Ireland?
I think this is an excellent strategy. And what's important is what Alice has said, is that it's not a silver bullet, but it's part of a whole package. And what we're seeing in research is proving that density of fast food outlets is actually linked to higher rates of childhood obesity in those areas. And we do know as well, WHO have said that policy intervention and targeting the environments and the commercial determinants of diet are at a population level are the things that are going to change our obesity levels. And unfortunately in Ireland, we do have as high a level as they're talking about in Newcastle. 60% of our adults are overweight or obese. Thankfully, there was a surveillance initiative over the last few years that has been watching childhood obesity, and the levels have fallen a little bit in childhood obesity since the early 2000s, but they're plateauing, and we still have a 20% level of childhood obesity in Ireland. And unfortunately, girls are a greater obesity levels than boys, and on disadvantaged areas, greater obesity mm-hmm. than other areas. So we really need to look at this on a complete level, not just this policy, which is excellent in itself, but educating. I think we really, the core issue is educating the population about food versus fuel versus nutrition. And, you know, the thing is, it's different to the smoking policies where you could say smoking is bad, not smoking is good. Food is essential no matter what, but it's the type of food. It's the nutritional level of food that really we need to teach people mm-hmm. about.
And more, I'm sure you heard Alice saying there they've a good handle on obesity rates in children because they weigh and measure the children mm-hmm. there. We don't do that here, do we?
No, we don't. Now, there was, you know, in an ideal world, we would. And there was a policy that was brought in pre-COVID, but COVID actually interfered with the whole thing, where we were going to weigh and take height and like the proper parameters for children on a yearly basis, and hasn't happened. In an ideal world, it would. And it does make, if it happened for every single child, it would make the conversation around childhood obesity in an individual level a little easier. Because honestly, you know, as a practitioner, it's very difficult to actually kind of point out to a child or a parent if a child appears to be overweight, because you're very, very conscious of, you know, the whole issue around kind of eating disorders as well, and the flip side of that. So it probably the population targeted approaches are probably far more important and probably more valuable. As GPs, our role really is to actually kind of make sure we can deal with the outcomes from obesity, because we all know that obesity is one of the major causes of several chronic illnesses, and we see that in adults. And one of the other things is, even though the school initiatives are working out very well, I think in Ireland in some ways, the decision makers, as in the parents of the children that made their levels are plateauing a little bit, their obesity levels are rising. So the message around the food and nutrition hasn't gotten through to the people that really need to mm-hmm. to make the decisions and buy the food.
Yeah, what about that, Alice? The attitudes to food at home, you know, the strong presence of low nutrition foods, that's filtered its way, hasn't it, very much so into grocery shopping, into ready-made meals. It's not just what children are seeing and buying when they're out and about.
No, and absolutely, the food environment's really critical. And I think I agree with everything your other speakers said, by the way, but one of the things I would also highlight in this issue is the issue of poverty. And there's been some research done by the Health Foundation, which has looked at calorie by calorie. Healthy food is three times more expensive to buy than unhealthy food. And we did some research in our most disadvantaged ward in Gateshead, working with the families there for about a year on the issue of childhood obesity. And the families there were saying, we understand what we need to be doing, but we're really worried our kids are going to go to bed hungry. And so rather than taking a risk on the sort of like slightly, you know, different out of the norm diet offer for a dinner, for example, they would be much more likely to choose something they knew their kids were going to eat, mm-hmm. so that they didn't go to bed hungry. And so there is a big issue around the availability of affordable, good quality food for families as well. And that is often driving some of the decision that's being made by families in relation to that.
You don't often see a special offer on broccoli, do you?
You don't, no. And that's the thing is, if you look at and we had this issue around buy one, get one free. So there was, you know, everybody's frightened about the cost of living and, you know, and it is terrible. But the research that was done showed that people who'd use buy one, get one free, 95% of that is consumed as additional calories.
Yeah.
So it doesn't actually help people balance their budgets. And listen, but it is another way of selling.
And as you mentioned, the work you did with parents in Gateshead, and I'm wondering if you've had any success, because I know from previous conversations we've had on here that once you have a child who is dealing with obesity, it's very difficult to reverse that pattern, isn't it? Have you had any success in that regard?
So you do have success when you do this with families on an individual basis, you know. So, and actually it needs to be more than just kind of the education around diet. There needs to be psychology in there. There needs to be access to affordable food. So if you look at it on an individual basis, there is, you know, there are some successes. I think the point is that actually bringing the community together to try and understand the issues and try and think of the solutions themselves, you know, will actually start to generate some really interesting examples. So this particular community decided that they'd set up their own hot food pizza takeaway, which was, they were selling healthy takeaway food from a community centre project. And it was all, you know, sort of supported by, you know, food nutritionalists to make sure that it was healthy. And that was offered at really cheap prices for families on the estate so that they could have their Friday night pizza, but in a more healthy way. So I think that there's really something about how we invest in our communities who are living and experiencing some of these issues, mm-hmm. so that they can identify the solutions whilst we do the kind of policy levers that change the environment.
Okay, well, Maura, we might just bring it back home then to finish. Just tips for parents who are listening to this and may be concerned at what their children are eating, because it can be very difficult. We do live in an obesogenic environment. You know, we are absolutely bombarded with all of those special offers. What do you need to keep at the front of mind when you're feeding your family?
Well, I think a general rule, we're all allowed treats. Everybody needs a treat, but a treat by definition is that. It shouldn't be the norm. So that kind of 80-20% kind of rule, which is 80% healthy home-cooked meals, 20% maybe treat, takeaway, you know. And again, it's all about affordability and accessibility. But the other thing is that meals should be eaten together without distraction. We cut down on screen time, increasing activity. And that's another thing Alice said. It's about the environment and policy, you know, government policy improving the environments we live in so that activity is actually increased. So children can walk to school, children have access to PE in school. Families as a whole could actually exercise more. Fewer treats, sugary drinks are probably a bigger cause of obesity, or as big a cause of obesity as fast food, healthier snacks. I think involving your children in their choices as well, buying and cooking food is a really good thing to do, because they become aware of where food comes from. It shouldn't appear in a pre-made packet. Food needs to be brought in whole food that you cook and then produce a meal from. You know, so involving children in all of this. And it's about choices, it's about parenting skills, but it's about price and convenience and the perception that fast food is cheaper and more convenient than other food. And maybe we need to change that around and make healthy foods the cheap and available option.
Yeah, that would be a great place to start. Maura, thanks very much. Dr. Maura Finn there, and also Alice Wiseman, who's Director of Public Health for Gateshead and Newcastle Council.